One of the modern classics written in our lifetime is a book called Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald. And I'm holding up a copy here for you to see. It's a bit of a battered copy. I've read it several times with bits of paper falling out of it, pages falling out. But in this book, Gordon MacDonald points out that every one of us lives with two worlds, our public world and our private world. And our public world consists of all the visible things that we do in our lives, all of our activity, things like going to work, our meetings, going to church, playing sport, everything that people observe about us. Our public world is our visible world. And that's in contrast to our private world, which, of course, is all the unseen things that we do, things like prayer, deep thinking, reflection, rest, all the things that people don't see about us, and that is our private world. And Gordon MacDonald contends that in our busy and pressured culture, what happens is our time and our energy tends to flow towards our public world, because that's how people measure us. That's what people see. So people want to know what we're doing. So people will think about it and clamour for our public world. But the danger with that is that it's our private world that holds up our public world. And so if we skimp on our private world, our inner life, then our public world can go into turmoil or even collapse altogether. And so our inner lives matter. They matter a lot. Our private worlds. And Psalm 23 is a lovely, intimate insight into the inner world, the inner spiritual life of David. And it begins, of course, with the great refrain in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Now, some pictures of God are seem quite remote from the Psalms. King, rock, shield, fortress. But shepherd is wonderfully intimate and, of course, draws on the deep experience of David himself, his personal experience of being a shepherd and also knowing the Lord intimately himself. And so the whole of this psalm flows from this first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not be in want. Because the Lord is his shepherd, says David, he needs nothing else. And of course, you have to remember that shepherds in the Middle East are very different to the shepherds in our culture, in Wales or the Lake District or Scotland. They don't have a sheepdog charging around after the sheep in the Middle East, because the shepherd and the sheep have a very close relationship. The shepherd can call the sheep and they'll respond. The shepherd protects them, guides them, even dies for them. And in David's time, often that would be what would happen to a shepherd, fighting off maybe robbers, thieves. They might die. And so a good shepherd gave his sheep total care. And that's the picture that David is giving us here. Because the Lord is his shepherd, he has total care. And there are three main areas of care that he speaks about. And the first is this. The shepherd gives him his provision. Look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Now, this is total bliss for your average sheep. Green pastures and quiet waters. It gives the air of contentment. And the provision that David is particularly talking about here is spiritual, and the clue there is in verse 3. Do you see that again? He restores my soul. It can have the meaning of giving my life back to me. He gives me back my life. And this is the inner life, the spiritual life of the man or woman of God. It's where strength and inner resources come from, our private world. It's the place where we go, phew, where there's space, where we're fed and watered spiritually to the inner person. And it's a place where we may need compulsion. Did you notice that, verse 2? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. There's some a bit of words of compulsion there. Maybe for some of us, he needs to drag us beside still waters. Sometimes there needs to be compulsion. And it includes all the inner feeding of prayer, reading God's word, deeper thinking, reflection on God's word, unseen by others. But the temptation and the truth about our culture and the busy, pressured lives that we live is that we can be compelled sometimes to go charging through the green pastures, looking for the fast food outlet and the bottled water ready to go. And we can tend sometimes to skimp on the spiritual feeding and provision that will sustain us. But if you look here, there's no fast food green pastures. There's no bottled quiet waters. This is grazing rather than snacking. And one of the great dangers of our culture is that sometimes we're tempted to think that snacking is as good as grazing. But the Lord isn't our fast food manager. He's our shepherd. And the whole flow of this psalm implies that the shepherding of the Lord begins right here, where we spend time, unhurried time, with him. And so the first challenge for us, and it's a big challenge, is to ask, where are our green pastures? Where do you have quiet waters? Where do you have unhurried times with your shepherd? Where do you do your prayer? Where do you read the word? Where do you reflect deeply on God's word and read more widely? Do you graze or do you snack on the run? Because it isn't so much just what to do, but it's how we do it. Lying down in green pastures, being led beside quiet waters. And we mustn't just be compelled by our culture to feed off our Lord on the run. The danger is that in our culture, our public world overwhelms our private world, and we try to run on empty. And we can run on empty for a while, but then it's not so much we get restored, who restores my soul, but actually our souls can be in turmoil. We can have this inner swirl going on deep down rather than the peace and the restoration that comes from being with our Lord unhurriedly. So this is an invitation not to run on empty. And there are many of us, I think, who need to recover our closer walk with our shepherd, who need to be made to lie down or need to be made to go and just be beside quiet waters. Not running, not snacking, but unhurried time, quietly with our Lord. We need to be led by still waters. We need sometimes be made to lie down in green pastures, to feed spiritually from him. So that's the first thing. Our shepherd wants us to have his provision. But secondly, also, the shepherd gives us his guidance. Look at the last part of verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And literally, paths of righteousness means right paths. And the promise here is that by being fed spiritually by his shepherd, David is led in the right paths of life. It's like having an internal compass needle. And so that if we feed off our shepherd, we feed spiritually, then that compass needle will point to north. We'll know where to go. And the direction there really has a moral element to it. The word righteousness means about being right. And you notice there the connection between being guided in paths of righteousness and for his name's sake. And the implication there is that as we're led in these paths of righteousness, we become more like him. We can bear his name. So that people know what our shepherd is like because they see the kind of people we are. And so this is about being guided and molded into what we're becoming, more like our shepherd. And that's really important to see that. It's about the people we're becoming. So by feeding deeply off our shepherd, spiritually, we become more like him. We're guided into right paths of who we're becoming. And it's true that that's true for whatever we go through as well. Look at verse 4. And it flows on from verse 3. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the valley of the shadow of death there, if you look at the notes at the bottom of your Bible, can also mean the valley of deep darkness. And so this verse may also include the dark crises we face in our lives, as well as, of course, the final crisis of death itself. And the promise here is that the shepherd will be with David, escorting him through these dark times, including death itself. And the picture is not of the shepherd being ahead of David, but in fact going with him alongside through these dark times and even through death itself. And do you notice that he mentions the instruments of guidance that a shepherd has? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And they were the two instruments that a shepherd has. Rod, that was for beating off wild animals or beating off robbers or whatever, thieves. And the staff was the staff used to guide sheep back onto the path. That sort of little curled thing round the neck of a sheep may hurt, but you yank it back onto the right path. And it's so dark, this valley, that you might not even see the shepherds there. But what's comforting are the rod and the staff, his instruments of guidance. I remember visiting a lady over many years, about 5 years, who suffered from depression. A lovely Christian lady. But every so often, the darkness of depression would come upon her. And she couldn't see God. She couldn't see God's love for her at all. Couldn't understand that Jesus was close to her. And often I would point out this verse to her, that you may not be able to see the shepherd, but you know the instruments of guidance that are there. All the love coming from her friends, from the church, even from me visiting her. I could say, those are the instruments of the shepherd who loves her. You may not be able to see him, but he's there. And even when facing death, I've sometimes been with people who are about to die. And sometimes there's a tremendous assurance that even though the person obviously doesn't want to go through death itself, because there's the unknown there of what the process of death might be like, but knowing that even there, the shepherd is alongside. It's a very wonderful thing to see someone going through death, knowing that the loved one, that the shepherd is with them. Sometimes things can be so dark, you can't see him. But the instruments are there, guidance and comfort. So there's wonderful promise of guidance here in who we are becoming, and even through the dark times, even through death itself. So the shepherd promises us his spiritual provision, his guidance even through death. And thirdly, he promises us his victory. Look at verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This picture is the picture of a victory feast, a well-set table, the captured enemies looking on, an overflowing cup, oil, being honored in front of your enemies. And the picture here that David's presenting us with is that there is no ultimate victory for any of David's enemies, even death itself. Not even the enemy of death has the final say. And so you've got that confident ending. Surely goodness and love will follow me. That literally means will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you remember when David went disastrously wrong with Bathsheba? What happened? Nathan the prophet was sent to him, and like the shepherd's staff, yanking him back onto the right path. He was yanked back. Painful, but then he was on the right paths again. But you know, there's an eternal dimension to this as well. Not just for this life, but I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's about eternal life. That's heaven, being with the Lord face to face forever. And so this wide-ranging psalm ends in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Total victory. The victory feast, which means that one day David is sure that he's going to be in heaven. Just a wonderful end to the psalm. All flowing from this one statement, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want anything, because he's given me everything. The promise of spiritual provision for our inner private worlds. The promise of his guidance to become more like him, and even through death and the dark times. And the promise of his total victory, even over death itself. So, who is the shepherd? Well, we know, don't we? Let's turn to John chapter 10 as we close. Page 1076. 1076. John chapter 10. Look at the last part of verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's Jesus speaking. Speaking about spiritual provision. That life is about eternal life, but life with God starting now. That's about the inner life of fellowship with God himself. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Look at verse 4. Look at the last part of verse 4, talking about the good shepherd. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. That's about guidance, knowing the shepherd's voice, and so we're guided. We follow him, his guidance. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That is about his total victory on the cross. That because Jesus laid down his life, and because of the resurrection, we know there's ultimate victory. Jesus is the good shepherd. This psalm, Psalm 23, is about Jesus. And so the Lord is my shepherd. Really, we can say, Jesus is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. And so I go back to the beginning, is where do you spend time with your shepherd, Jesus? Where is it that you feed off him deeply, so that you're becoming more like him, so that your soul is restored, and that your inner life is one of equilibrium and one that's holding up your public world? Jesus is your shepherd. And in unhurried, uninterrupted times, he invites us to feed deeply off him through his word and in prayer and reflecting and thinking for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his total care of us as our shepherd. We pray we may be drawn more and more into a closer, intimate walk with him. Unhurried space and time. May we feed on him through the word, through prayer, for his name's sake. Amen.